Let's talk a little bit about BRAF disease, and I know you've had an interest in that in terms of clinical research. And maybe to get into it, you can begin by talking about your 48-year-old lady.
Yes. So this lady is actually a young woman who has three children in middle school and high school. And last summer, she kind of developed bloating and various nonspecific symptoms. And eventually, in August, she underwent a colonoscopy and was found to have a sigmoid lesion that was obstructing and underwent a resection. At that time, the CAT scan on her initial staging showed extremely extensive disease with extensive involvement of the liver, like a packed liver, lung disease, peritoneal metastases. And she underwent a palliative resection because of her obstructive symptoms. And at that point, I saw her and we did her sequencing, and not too unexpectedly, she was found to have this BRAF V600E mutation, the kind of standard BRAF mutation. So I started her on FOLFIRINOX.
Can I just ask you about the way she was diagnosed here? She was diagnosed on a circulating DNA assay or what?
No. She was diagnosed on colonoscopy, and then she had the palliative resection, and then we sequenced her tumor. But when I started her treatment, I wanted to check her circulating tumor DNA more of a DNA marker, because we know that the panels can detect the circulating BRAF mutated DNA. And at that point, when she had this very extensive amount of disease, her circulating tumor DNA assay showed that she had 68% BRAF V600E present. So we treated her with the FOLFIRINOX, and she did really very well. Her liver lesions actually became more prominent because they were kind of necrotic and it changed the density. And our radiologist said, well, we do see this once in a while where even though they have a great anti-tumor response, she seems to have more lesions even. But her CEA had diminished from about 90 to 9 at the same time. So, and she was feeling much better. I mean, started to gain weight again. We knew she was responding. And when she got to the end of 12 cycles of the FOLFIRINOX, her circulating tumor DNA percent was down to 8% for the BRAF fraction.
Yeah, I don't know whether everybody knows this and I don't, but I got to say, when I saw this, I was trying to remember for melanoma or even lung cancer, measurement of circulating DNA of BRAF. Is that commonly done?
Well, the panels now that are being done by the various companies are looking for specific mutations that are common. So they're all going to include that one amongst the other ones. So, you know, normally you'll get a report back that has whatever DNA is in the tumor that's being produced and circulating. So you'll see KRAS DNA. You know, if they have other mutations, it'll all come out in this panel where they give you the relative percentages.
So, for example, Guardant, is that this type of
Yes,
assay?
Guardant's one of them, and Foundation also has an assay like that.
And they report the percent of what tumor cells with this in it?
They isolate the tumor DNA that's circulating. It's in the bloodstream. It's not in any cells. It's just like from the cells giving off the DNA. It's not all digested, and some of it's circulating around, and you can look for these hotspot mutations that are point mutations that give the specific driver mutations that we're looking for. So when we know that people have like a KRAS codon 12 mutation or 13 or whatever it is on the BRAF V600E, they have probes to look for those specifically, or they do it on the panel and they report those specific DNA mutations. It's like, I think, about a 50 or 60 gene panel.
But what I'm trying to figure out is when they put percent, like it's percent of what?
The amount of circulating tumor DNA. It's
Huh.
not quantitated how much DNA you have there, but it's the relative frequency of that compared to the other DNA that's found there.
And does that percent in general correlate with response?
Well, that's a question, but there is some data for people who have stage two where they have a resection. If the DNA doesn't clear completely, they have a much higher risk of recurrence. And so we're looking again in the cooperative groups, and other people are looking at also if we can use that as a predictive marker. In this case, I was trying to look at it as a response marker, and in her case, it seems to, because she kind of nadired out at 8%, but then it began to go up again. when I gave her maintenance with just 5-FU-BEV because she really couldn't continue to tolerate the FOLFIRINOX, obviously. And then we put her on a trial with a BRAF inhibitor. She was randomized to the arm of cetuximab with the BRAF inhibitor encorafenib, and she responded transiently for that, but after 4 months she was progressing again, and we saw that her DNA went up to 38%. So, I mean, she's had two responses to the therapy, but they haven't been very persistent.